Well, I can tell you, no other recorders in the world can change my accent. So, I'm sorry about that. Well, I'm very glad. We are glad, very glad to be here this morning. We were here some years ago in a missionary class, I think, focus meeting. But here we are again. Let me tell you, my English has not improved any in these years. So, we have been already 13 and a half years in Spain, working for the Lord there. And previous to that, previous to our commendation, we worked for 6 years at Westside Bible Fellowship in Oregon with a Hispanic ministry of the chapel assembly there. So that was where we came out. When we were commended to the work in Spain. By the way, this is the highest technology I have encountered so far for a projector. So my computer is over there, the projector is over there, and something is coming on the screen. So it's working pretty well. I want to show you about the exterior experience. We are using EMEA's courses in Spain. We are using EMEA's courses. You have a bunch of them out there. Although, let me tell you, they are kind of outdated in their cover. We have beautiful new covers on the EMEA's courses. Very attractive and very nice. We are using EMEA's courses. And in that time, using the EMEA's courses, we encounter some students. And we encounter, for example, a student who studied 2.5 years in EMEA's courses. He went through all the EMEA's courses that we have in Spanish, plus everyday publication courses in Spanish. So he went through 75 courses. And when he finished that, we went to visit him. We gave him a diploma. We gave him a present commentary, Bill McDonald's commentary on the whole Bible. And that was the first time he had a personal contact with Christians. Okay? He lived in a small town, no churches there really. well, he became a believer studying EMEA's courses. He works in an orange grove. This is the largest in Europe. It's a huge extension there. He goes, you know, he works from sunrise to sunset. And before he goes to his work, he studied the Bible. And after that time studying the Bible and doing through all the EMEA's courses, he wrote a letter to me. And I want to share that letter with you. I'm going to read it. Of course, in Spanish, but it says the following. Dear Manuel, I write you these lines to thank you for all I have learned through the EMEA's courses you have offered me and which have made me grow as a Christian. Until not long ago, the Bible was to me just a great literary work, but with a vast chaos of words and genealogies. These courses have helped me first in understanding the Bible and then in loving it, and have created in me the habit of this daily reading becoming part of my life. Sometimes I surprise myself by reciting some verse by memory when the occasion requires. One that always I have in mind and that gives me much strength is the verse which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I have come to the conviction that the way of Christ is the best way, and I feel that I am going in the right direction, although the progress may seem imperceptible. I approach God daily through prayer, totally changing my former way of doing so, with monotonous and repetitive words. Now I do so in a more informal way, as if I were a child speaking with my father, sensing that moment like a sweet time to receive God's love. All this spirituality which has been awakened in me has been in a great way thanks to the EMEA's courses. I give you thanks again for the courses And if you have a new one, please send it to me. May the Lord bless you and protect you. So I was looking in the scripture for a similar experience in the part of the writer of the scripture. So I found it. I think I found it in Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Let's read that scripture. He says, "Oh, how I love your law." 119:97. "It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." If you notice the first verse, it says that he loved the Word of God and that is his meditation all the day. The idea is if you put some amount of time, effort, attention to the Word of God, you are going to get results out of it. Okay, you're going to get results out of that work. And actually, that has been the experience of the students of these MAS courses, which is just a tool to study the Word of God. And what we find in this passage is precisely that. If you study, oh, finally I have a voice. if you study the Word of God, if you meditate in the Word of God, you are going to have results. And those results are found in the verses 98 through 104. And let me talk about that a little bit. I was ahead of myself and I'm pretty good. Huh? This is the kind of two kind of results that you can get out of studying the Word of God. The first one is wisdom that overcomes. And the second one is discernment that decides. And I have expressed these ideas this way because sometimes we get with wisdom and discernment, which you get out of the Word of God, but what do you do about it? What do you do about wisdom and discernment? The Bible teaches us to put things into practice. So we have wisdom, we need to use it for something, and we have discernment, we need to do something about that one too. So we have wisdom that overcomes in the first verses there, 98 through 100. And this is expressed here through three group of people, basically. You have obstacles in life, but mostly they come through people, actually. In this case, there are three groups of people. The first group is are those who are against you, or they are against the gospel, or against they are in opposition to you. This is the opposition of the enemies there. What you get out of the Bible is wisdom that overcomes that opposition. It says there, "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." I mean, your commandments are ever with me. So the answer here to overcome the enemies, the opposition of the enemies, is precisely through the Word of God. The Word of God gave us wisdom to overcome the enemies. Most of the things that come against us as Christians beside, well, we talk about the flesh, we talk about Satan, we talk about the world. But basically, we are attacked in our minds, in our hearts, by ideas that come out of the world. And we are immersed in this world, and the world is always pressuring us, trying that we are going to conform to the ways of the world, to the ideas of the world. So to overcome that, we need wisdom from the Bible. The second group of people that we can overcome with that wisdom is those who are above us. Probably we can overcome the scholarship of the teachers. You know, I went to seminary, and this verse was my favorite. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now we can, you know, smile about this, but this is the point. The Word of God has the authority even above the scholarship of any wonderful teacher you can find anywhere. The Word of God has the authority over them. So how we overcome those who are above us in understanding, maybe, or something? Well, I said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. That's the whole point. We need to meditate, we need to think about it, we need to study the Word of God, so we have victory over these people who think they know more than anybody else. The Word of God always has to be the filter, all the ideas, not only of the world, but also the ideas from, you know, people who study or they have some scholarship in their own minds, I guess. But the third group of people that we have to overcome is those who are ahead of us. You see, we have to overcome the experience of the all. Because, you know, the Bible speaks very highly about those who are have more experience than we do, and they're older than we are. And this is a good thing. But that experience not always is Bible-based. It's not only always true to the Word of God. So we need to use the Word of God so we can have more understanding, be wiser, have wisdom over those who have all age. If what they are teaching is not according to the Word of God. So, in other words, in any situation, we need to have the Word of God before us with the maximum authority about what they have to teach so that we can overcome those things that are not coming from the Word of God, which are not in agreement with the Word of God. In practical ways, we can approach a verse. Oh, I don't know why this is not doing, but we go to John chapter 8 and verse 31st. The Lord Jesus there is talking to the Jews who are believing him. And he says there in John chapter 8, verse 31st, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know, the word abiding means to reside permanently in the word of God in this case. To reside permanently. So it's like you are in the word of God. I'm putting an example from there, from southern Spain. You sometimes use olives on your salads, those small green olives. Most of them come from right where we are living, in Seville area. Have you ever tried an olive from the tree when there is green? You try it, it's, well, the most, somebody call it pungent, acid, bitter taste that you can put in your mouth. I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. But you take that olive, you put it into a bath, with salt and other ingredients, and for weeks you change the water in that bath and put more, and so that in that solution it's changing, you know, and you change, and at the end, what it was bad inside the olives has been transformed, has been taken out, and what was good in the bath and the solution comes into the olive, so you have that tasty olive that you can eat. In the same way, we need to abide in the Word of God. We are the olive. We need to abide in the Word of God. We need to put ourselves in the Word of God so that the ideas of the Word of God will come into our hearts. And the bad ideas that they come not only from outside, but also from our hearts are going to get out so that we are transformed. That is the whole point. We are transformed by the Word of God. This is not a weird concept. Actually, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, what is saying there? Deuteronomy 6, 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, when you raise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, what a precious way to put it. You know, you need to abide in the Word of God. If we abide in the Word of God, the Lord says, you're going to become my disciples indeed. My disciples indeed. We're in Spain, we want to make disciples. We're going to make true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we do is to put before the people the opportunity to abide in the Word of God, to abide in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we are doing. If we abide in the Word of God, if we assimilate that Word, that is going to change our being, our heart, and then we can implement that Word, becoming disciples, true disciples of the Lord Jesus. The sermon that decides, the second result of meditating and studying the Word of God, verses 100 through 104 in the Psalm. This is a sermon that decides. This is the sermon that is going to bring righteousness to our lives. The idea is to decide in the right way. So what we find here is four kinds of discernment, actually, in these verses. The first one, we can call it ethical discernment. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that you may keep your word. So here is shown in the practical decision, you know. I restrain my life and restrain myself for doing what is wrong. So because I can keep your word. I'm keeping your word, so I am getting out of trouble in that way. So it's an ethical discernment there in the behavior and the conduct of the psalmist. The second kind of discernment is relational discernment. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. You yourself have taught me. Look at there, the emphasis there. And think about it. You study the Word of God. You're not just studying a text, even a text that God himself wrote. The question is that when you are studying the Word of God, God himself is teaching you. God himself is teaching us when we are studying the Word of God. So it's not only divine information that we're getting from the Word of God. The Word of God has the authority of the author, the authority of God himself. And that is like God teaching to me personally. And we have to enjoy that in our life. We need to be aware of this, and we have to be aware of the Word of God, what is doing in us. The third kind of discernment is affective discernment. Not effective, but affective. It has to do with the affections. Look at the verse 103. Here you find really some kind of emotional satisfaction. It's expressed in the taste of honey. You know, I love honey. I really like it. But here he says that the word of God is, you know, sweeter, better than honey. Better than honey. He has found emotional satisfaction in the study of the word of God. Do you find that when you study the word of God? Are you fully and emotionally satisfied? Maybe we have to make a deeper reflection about this. What is that we really love and desire? What do we want? What is that produces joy in us, satisfaction in us? What we really want. If we go to verse in Psalm 37, and verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, that He shall give you the desires of your heart." What are the desires of our heart when we delight in the Lord? What are those? Delight yourself in the Lord. So, do we really want the Lord? If we really want the Lord, then we're going to find complete satisfaction in studying His word. The fourth kind of discernment is intellectual discernment. Look at here, 104. It says, "Through your precepts I get understanding." Okay? "Therefore I hate every false way." So you get an understanding of what is true and what is false through the word of God. It's the filter that help us in that decision. Look at the contrast between the first sentence of this passage, 97. "Oh, how I love your law." And the last one, "Therefore, I hate every false way." Love and hate. Hate. I love the law. I hate falsehood. That is what the Word of God help us to do. So, with the wisdom and the discernment that we find in the Word of God, through the study of the Word of God, what we can do? Well, let me read to you a passage in Philippians chapter 1. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he shared with us and with them what he was praying about for them. Verse 9, Philippians 1:9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." Remember what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? "Love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Knowledge, discernment. Wisdom and discernment. He prayed for that, for them. "With the purpose of that you may approve the things that are excellent." Important point here. Sometimes we just discern between what is good and what is bad. You know, we have the Bible, so we can know what is good and what is bad. And sometimes even we want a prize for it, for that discernment. But the Bible is calling to do something else. To decide between what is good and what is excellent. We are called to a life of excellence, so that you may approve the things that are excellent with that knowledge and discernment when you abound more and more in love, that you may be sincere without offense or blameless till the day of Christ. And we are going to be judged by the Lord, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. So we have the love. The love is a well-informed and learned love that produces righteousness in our life by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And here we have before us in these three verses basically the plan for the Christian life before of us. What we're going to do as a Christians is right here, three verses. We have laid down before us. So that wisdom and discernment that come from the Word of God will help us in loving more God, in loving more each other, become righteous in our lives, and bring glory and praise to God. So that is the business we are in Spain. That is the whole point that we are doing in Spain with Emmaus courses. So I want to share with you what we are doing in Spain in the following minutes. This picture is from a monastery in southern Spain. Actually, it's just 2.5 miles from where we live. We live in Seville area. We live like 4 miles from Seville. And 2.5 miles from our home is this monastery. Actually, just right now, it's just a monument. It's something that is restored, partially restored. But this is a very important place because here was the first place where the Bible was translated from the original languages into Spanish. That was it was finished by 1569. 1569, the monks of this place were translating the Bible into Spanish. And the Inquisition took hold of the issue, of course, and they took some of them, they burned the stake, tortured most of them, and also some of them managed to flee to other countries. And there in Central Europe, Germany, basically, is where and they published the Bible in Spanish for the first time. That was even before the King James Bible was done. What happened then in Spain was that we had 400 and some years of blackness, or what you're going to call it, darkness, because there was no Bible there in the background of the society for all those years. It wasn't until 1965 the Catholic Church allowed the Catholics to read the Bible under the supervision of a priest. Actually, the Bible was prohibited to be read. It was in the list of prohibited books to read. Okay. So for all those years, there was nothing of the Bible in Spain. Have you lately heard about Spain in the news? Not just because of the Olympics, but because of financial troubles in Spain and Europe. Have you noticed which countries are in financial trouble mostly in Europe? Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain. Common denominator? No reformation in their history. The reformed countries are doing better. The Catholic and Orthodox countries with no reformation in their history, they don't know how to get out of the trouble. Because, for example, they think that work is cursed by God. Work is a sin. To work is a sin. Okay? So that way, how are you going to get out of trouble? You don't want to work. 75% of college students in Spain want to be public employees, civil servants. Another issue has to do with freedom. You know, freedom is thought to be a sin. Actually, they hate, for example, free market. They don't like free market. People don't like free market in this country. They don't like free market in Spain. They want regulated markets by the government. They don't like free enterprise. They prefer monopolies. Because for all these years, the Catholic Church told them that they needed to belong to the Catholic Church, being under the Catholic Church, to be safe from the sin, be safe from bad influence in their minds, and be safe from their pockets. It wasn't until the second part of the 19th century that Spain had a bank. Okay? No banks before in Spain. Putting other ways, you know, the idea is you need to belong to the Holy Mother Church to, you know, to be the person, basically, and to be safe from trouble. Now that the society is mostly secular and secularized and postmodern, you know, only maybe 10% or less of people go to Mass in Spain, and not every Sunday, of course. Now, well, instead of belonging to the Holy Mother Church, you need to belong to the Holy Father State, in the way that the state is going to save you from everything. The whole point is you avoid personal responsibility. The whole point is to avoid personal responsibility. If we talk about sins and morals, well, you know, sins, there are two kinds of sins, according to the Catholic Church. There are the cardinal, capital sins, and there are the venial or small sins, we can say, you know. So, for example, lying and stealing, they think is not that bad. Lying and stealing is not that bad. Actually, the problem is also that you don't hold accountable your leadership in the country for lying or stealing. Because you think it's not that bad, so they can lie and steal, it's not that bad what they're doing. That is what's happening there. So with this background and other things, you know, what do you expect? These countries are not prepared. Spain is not prepared to get out of the crisis. By the way, you know where the word crisis comes from? It comes straight from Greek. New Testament Greek says crisis. In English, you say crisis. In Spanish, we say crisis too. Straight from Greek. And it's used in the New Testament to speak of the judgment of God. Judgment of God is the word crisis. And indeed, it's the judgment of God upon these countries because they have not followed God's principle of life, basically. There's no principles there to living straight away. So they have all these problems in the background. So against this problem, we are using Emmaus courses there to train the people and to, above all, we want to make disciples of the Lord. We have been doing that for some years now. About 7 years we have been involved in Emmaus courses. What we are doing in Spain is decentralizing. We are building several offices. We already have 3 offices, Emmaus offices in Spain. When you think in an office, maybe you think a big building or something like that. Well, let me tell you, this is the attic of my home. The office is 60 square feet. With a slanted roof. When I go to the printer, I need to go like this. But anyway, the point is you don't need a big infrastructure and big buildings to run a ministry. You know, in southern Spain we have this. From here, we are doing the work. We are doing the work there. It's a small space. We were there. I was fixing it to put some insulation on it because it's so hot there. Somebody asked me how hot it was. Last Friday was 114 degrees in Seville. So, and you need some insulation and air conditioner to really work there. But that's beside the point. We are working there just from a small place, but we are doing the work of the Lord as He allows. Also, I am talking about MS courses through churches, and this church, they want MS courses because they use it for double purpose. One is evangelism. You have to know we have in Spanish 55 courses. 10 of them are evangelistic courses. So you for evangelism, they use it also for prison ministry. Okay, the pastor of this church go to prison, and he has every week, he has a group of prisoners, inmates, and he gave them the possibility of study MS courses, study the Bible. So we are using that. In the States has been prominent, and it is very prominent, the work of MS courses in prison. But you have to know that MS courses are not mostly for inmates. There are about 90 courses in English. Only 5 or 6 of them are for inmates. MS courses were created to teach Christians. They couldn't go to a Bible institute or a Bible college. That was the idea. And afterwards, they started to do evangelistic courses. So, put it another way, MS courses are for you. Okay? Are for your study, to study the Word of God. That is the whole point. And I encourage you to do it. You will see some interesting things in your life. As I said before, we have new, this is a book table with MS courses with new covers and everything like that. We are using them. What we do, we have a program of 5 levels of courses, and the students can go through those 5 levels. The first level is basically evangelistic level, and it goes through all the courses. We are offering the courses for free. Here are 2 couples that are working in MS, one in Seville and the other 4 hours north in Salamanca. Between those 2 couples, I think they graded 2,500 courses a year. They have full-time jobs. They do voluntary work, but they are doing that kind of work, you know. And this is what we're looking for in Spain, too. We want more nationals to be involved in the work of the MS. As I said, we offer the courses for free. We rely on the Lord for the support of the work, so we don't sell MS courses. In that picture, the 2 pictures, the gentleman that is holding a diploma there, we give a diploma, only one, where they finish all the courses. He's right there. He's the one who wrote the letter to me. And this is this picture was the first, the visit we have visited him several times now, but this was the first visit and the first time he had personal contact with Christians at that time. Okay. We have all kind of visits. This is in our home, and this gentleman with the striped shirt, he is ex international arms dealer. He became a Christian in prison, and when the first time he had the opportunity to leave jail or prison in Spain, after several years of your sentence, you get some time of leave every 4 months. They give you 4 or 5 days of leave. So he came and visited us to know us. He went through all MS courses. You know, he studied all MS courses. And sometimes we go and visit them in their homes. I'm visiting here this ex-inmate. This is opposite to the other guy. This is not like a real criminal or anything. But he has studied all the MS courses, and I'm visiting him. He lives an hour and a half from us. Visiting him in his home. And we want to do this more and more. We want to get more involved in the lives of people We want to visit them. We want to establish discipleship time with them, looking to the point in which maybe we can plant, I cannot say plant, but start a new assembly where they are. You know, they are in small towns, they are alone, there are places all over southern Spain. We have students all over the place. We want to visit them and do that work. And this is another inmate visit. Actually, this inmate, every time he has leave time, he comes and worship with us, actually. Here he is. Next to him here, this brother. And this is his home, the home of this brother. He is a prison guard. Actually, he is the prison guard of the inmate. So he invited the inmate to come to his home. Okay. And he called them clients anyway, my clients. This is what the Lord is doing, you know. This is what the Lord is doing. If you are a prison guard, you're not supposed to give any contact information to your inmates, you know, for safety reason. But there he is. And he comes every time he comes, he is released to worship with us. And we have also just students from churches. This is a baptism. Yes, that is an inflatable, portable swimming pool thing. Well, you cannot swim in that. So a pool, and they have a front of a place at the church, and there our student was baptized. We have a new course on baptism in Spanish. You don't have it yet in English. And after doing that course on baptism, he obeyed the Lord in getting baptized. This is the numbers we're having in Spain. This is for the whole Spain. The number of students that we have in our database. We have more students than that, but this is the one we have really in our database. And that's the number of students that we have in our database the last year. So this year we're going to be over 600 or 700 students probably for the whole Spain. And this is the number of courses. We distributed about 3,300 courses. And we graded, out of those 3,300, we graded over 2,600 of them, so with a return rate of about 81%. And this is for southern Spain. This is for southern Spain. We started later in southern Spain in 2006. But basically, between 2006 and 2012, you notice we have multiplied by 10, the number of courses they are being graded. So in 6 years, we have multiplied by 10 the number of courses to be graded. So the growth is going up. And we are very thankful to the Lord for that kind of growth. We are trying to keep up with the pace, actually, of the growth. It's challenging. What we are doing is using a postcard to promote the courses. Postcard is this one. You have information about the courses. It says something about the gospel here, about Jesus Christ. Invite the people to study the courses. The first one we offer in our study, we have content information. You know, we have a web page, Facebook, email address. And the people put in the back, they write down their information, the contact information, and all they need to do is to put a stamp and send the postcard, and we will send them the the courses. So it's what we use. What we have done with this is we have given this to prison ministry workers, people who go into prison to do ministry. We give them to them. And they give them to other inmates they are involved with, they are working with. So we do that. So we are now in 60 and growing. Out of 84 prison facilities in Spain, we are in 60 of them. Okay, with these cards and with the MES courses. But also in Spain, you can put material into the mailboxes of the people. You can open mailboxes and they have a slot there and you put it in. So a year ago or so, a team from Germany came, they do this all over Europe, they came from Germany, and they distributed 50,000 of these in the city of Seville, which is about half of the size of the city. Okay. And then another team from Oregon came, and they distributed 20,000 of these in the towns, some towns around our town, west of the city. The good thing about this is you don't need Spanish to do this kind of ministry. You just put this in the mailbox. And we get contact with people through that. Students and people who are safe. What I'm saying is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We feed about 11 people in our home. Okay, so you better think about sending a team to Spain. And we are in more than one city. You can do this, okay? You can do this. You don't need to know any Spanish, basically, to put this in a mailbox. It wasn't me. I'm all electrified and everything, but...
Your laptop is about to fail.
Oh, poor computer. Well,
let me do something here.
My laptop wants to just tell me that I'm way over time. Okay, let's go ahead. They did a program with kids too, the Oregon team, went several places in our hometown too. And we have also started to do printing offices in Spain. The one in Seville is the second printing offices. We are printing on demand. We don't let courses to be stockpile for 30 years waiting to rust their, you know, and get all, and we keep printing them, we keep revising them, we keep improving them. We are printing on demand as we need them. That's what we are doing. So this is a small room in another home, and the brother did his room, and he's, you know, he's printing courses with a really a reasonable amount of money. You can get nowadays the material to do that. So this is why we are doing it. And I take a lot of time on translation of courses. We used to have 35 courses in Spanish. Now we have 55. I have translated 8 or 7 of them. Still translated. In that computer, there is another one I'm working on. So we try to keep up, and we want to finish those 35 courses ahead of us. In English, so I am investing quite a long time in the translation courses, and we do other kind of evangelistic and events like Thanksgiving dinner event. There is no Thanksgiving in Spain. People don't give thanks to God for anything. Okay. So that's it. Yes, to share with you some prayer requests. So you can pray for us. You can pray for the work we are doing, for more nationals to get involved in the work, and also for the support of the work, that we can keep up with the pace, and especially with the new things we're going to do, like children courses, and also to work in the visitation of the students to establish discipleship time with them, and maybe in the future planting of some assemblies or other Lord leads. And that's it. Should I say anything else? Thank you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for providing, O Lord, your many blessings upon us. But especially, O Lord, we give you thanks for showing your love continuously in us through your Holy Spirit that is in our hearts. And also, Lord, we give you thanks for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us, miserable sinners. But through your grace, O Lord, we stand before you, and we want to give you thanks for providing for us, for all of us, ministry, service to help the church and to help others around us. Thank you, Lord. We want to glorify you, and we want you to help us in these endeavors. We just ask your direction, your lead in all this. I ask for this assembly that you bless them so they will grow spiritually and numerically, and they will have a vision for sharing the gospel and for making disciples. And Lord, we also ask your blessing upon us as we leave this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.